Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, welcome to another Five Times podcast. It's the morning of the game, so the nerves are flying around. We're just going to have our pre-match meal, but I've managed to grab two former ex-Liverpool players with a foreign feel. But before I do that, we're just going to fly across to Pete McDowell, who's with two former Liverpool players.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Got Ian Callaghan here, John Aldridge and Jan Mulby. Team has just been named. Jan Mulby is the chairman of the former Players Association. Any surprises in the lineup, Jan?
Well, actually, I haven't seen the team, Pete.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I would love to.
It's almost my role now, isn't it? Bruce Grobler in goal. Jason McAteer, Rob Jones, Mark Wright, Michael Thomas, John Barnes. You're in the team, you're starting. Patrick Berger, Vladimir Smijtas, Steve McManaman, Robbie Fowler, subs Aldo, Alan Kennedy, Phil Neal, David Fairclough and Didi Haman on the bench.
Yeah, no, there's pretty much as we thought. You know, we've obviously got the young and the fresher legs in the starting 11.
Don't include yourself.
Yeah, I think so. The only one that would say is John Barnes, who looks a little bit unfit, but everybody else looks really, really fit.
Well, I must admit, Peter, I'm very disappointed. I'm not even down there. So there you go. I'm not in
question.
The team or even on the bench.
Do you need to see the manager at this stage?
I think so.
Do you think Cali's one for the future, though? Do you think that's how the staff view it? You know, and then
I think I've just been told, put your suit on, you're an ambassador. That's all I will do.
Used to be your boots are under the number 12, didn't it, when there was a problem there. What about you, Aldo? The team looking strong there?
Yeah, I think what I'm with Didier, man, we've done a little bit of an exercise on the pitch yesterday where he was in the circle, a couple of people in trying to get the ball off us, and the soft bug has done his calf in trying to be clever, you know. So
the nifty back heel done him,
he's felt the pinch, but the physio just said hot from the press that he should be okay, you know? So he got fresh legs on the bench there anyway.
What's the trip been like for you all? I mean, it's been an eye-opener. I don't think we really knew what to expect, but everywhere you've been, you've just been given an unbelievable welcome.
Yeah, but I think the tour has built well, hasn't it? I'm sure the boys would have enjoyed the golf. We played some fantastic courses and turning up to signing sessions with the amount of people. I mean, the signing session yesterday in the local casino had twice as many people as the Manchester City first team. Gives you an idea. But it's building towards today, isn't it, the game? And that's why we're here. We're all footballers, yes. We're old and we can't play like we used to, but it's just building towards the game, isn't it? And I don't care what anyone says, the beer we're going to drink after and we're going to drink whether we win or lose tastes a lot better when you won, and you sense that with everybody. And I think the fact that we've got close on 30,000 people inside the stadium, it's just going to make you even more focused, you know. And the last thing you want to do live on TV as well in front of all those people, and let's not forget that most of those people absolutely adore us. You just don't want to make a fool of yourself.
It's funny looking at the lads now, that the mindset, you can see them turning into professional mode, Cali. You can see they're getting a bit more serious about this now.
You know, I mean, there's great camaraderie. We've had a fantastic week. And you can see, you know, I mean, a lot of all ages. But you can see now, you know, I mean, the lads want to win today. And there'll be 28,000 there, so it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. And, yeah, so we're looking forward to a good result.
All we've done all week is laugh. Although Patrick Berger said before that the highlight for him was a couple of speeches you made on the bus on the way back from a couple of events. I mean, the banter's been unbelievable, hasn't it?
Yeah, but we all get on famously, don't we? We've known each other for some time. I have to say, Patrick and Vladimir have been brilliant. First time I've met them, and great lads. You know, and we're expecting a bit more from them on the pitch, aren't we? The younger type of legs. But they've been brilliant, and we've had a great time. You know, we get together quite a lot during the year and the season, it's just always great to be involved with the lads. You know, we've got some good jokers in the pack as well, which is always important.
Do you see it happening again, Jan? I mean, it's been a lavish, really ambitious tour that a few people doubted would happen. It's happened now. It's been a great success. Can it be repeated?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's still parts of the world where we've never been seen, and you know, there's places in the world where maybe the first team is highly unlikely to go, and you know, I just think there's a big call for anything to do with Liverpool Football Club. And I just think that once you make that commitment, whether that's as a Liverpool player, and you see the commitment that these boys are made, and they still see themselves as Liverpool players, it's like a life commitment, isn't it? And the fans are the same. And I always think that the fans are prepared to go that extra yard. We've come out here, and we know we've got millions of fans in South Africa, but it's one thing having them, it's another thing getting to come to the events, isn't it? And that's what I like about the Liverpool fans, is that they go that extra yard. They go, listen, the boys are here. I spoke to somebody who hosted a table I was on the other night, and his sister's getting married today, and he's turning up late for the wedding. He said, because the boys are here to play, he said, and I have to be there. And that's what it means to them, you know. And that's what I mean about Liverpool fans, that extra yard, you know. And I don't think there's many football clubs in the world who can send a group of retired footballers to create the amount of excitement that we have.
There's a couple of guys on our table the other night, and one of them said, I don't think you realise this has changed so many people's lives, that the Liverpool legends turn up, which really puts it in context, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, I mean, coming to South Africa, and you know, it's a long way away from home, and you think to yourself, well, we are ex-players, but as Jan said, and Aldo says, the response has just been fantastic. You know, I've just been completely surprised by it all. I really have. And we've had a fantastic time, as I say, you know, and the camaraderie with Liverpool former players is always going to be good. It really is, because we all got on well together. That's part and parcel of Liverpool FC when we all played. So it's been a great week, and great to see all the lads.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure being with you, lads. Thank you very much for talking to me. I'm Morby, John Aldridge, and Ian Callaghan. Back to you, Jason.
Thanks, pal. Well, we're sitting here together now, looking forward to this podcast. As I said, it's got a foreign feel to it. We've got two of the great Czech players that played for Liverpool sitting with me, about to talk everything Liverpool and their careers. Vladimír Smajta is with us. Great to have you here with us, Vlad. And another player we've got from the Czech Republic. I think if you put his name after Beef and before Van, I think you'll guess who it is. It's Patrick Berger. Patrick, great to have you with us today.
How's the tripping going?
Pretty well. I think so far I'm happy, playing a lot of goals and enjoying the South Africa. I mean, first time here.
Yeah, so far so good. Never been here before, so you know, I never met some of the lads before, mainly the older ones. And you know, the weather has been great, food has been great, the fans has been unbelievable so far. I'm a big golf fan, so played few golfs, so yeah. Love it.
It's a good mixture this time. I mean, we haven't really played many games with Five Times, have we? But this is the first big real trip, so there's a nice mixture of the older players and obviously players we've played against as well. Is there anyone you particularly enjoy meeting? Obviously it's different for you because it's different Diddy, and different for you because it's like me and Maka. Are they the players you've enjoyed seeing?
Yeah, I'm happy to see Bruce Grobler, right? Because he's been I think very popular at Czech Republic, and I just meeting him first time like this, you know, on the trip. And yeah, so it's a funny, and I'm happy to see him.
Are you a Liverpool fan? Did you grow up as a Liverpool fan?
Yeah. I grew up as a Liverpool fan because Liverpool were winning when I was young, and as a young boy you always, you know, supporting the team they are winning. So, and of course then when Liverpool was banned not to play European Cups, I was like looking for another team, and I picked AC Milan, but it was the time with Hulit and Van Basten and Rijkaard. Yeah, you know, I support them in Europe.
I think with our generation, I feel it's losing its kind of mystique now, the fact that people get starstruck. And I think our generation in football is maybe the last generation to be starstruck. I come on these trips and see John Barnes, mm-hmm, and John Aldridge, and I get a little bit starstruck. Do you get like that sometimes? You say Bruce Grobbelaar. Do you look at some players and think, oh, I grew up and they were my top players?
Well, for me, John Barnes was, you know, when I was young, John Barnes was a legend. So, you know, for me, I've signed 1996 and John was still in the team. So, I mean, it was a dream come true, you know, to actually be close to him. And so John was the legend for me. John is the main man for me. But the highlight for me is John Aldridge so far, you know, on this trip. I mean, I never met him before, and he's a very funny guy, and I really enjoy his company.
Just talk quickly about the game today. Obviously, we're playing the Kaizer Chiefs. The game, I think when we get asked to play in these games, I don't think there's too much expectation on maybe winning. I think the charity aspect is the biggest thing, and getting together as a group of lads. But as we've got here, have you noticed, you know, the politics around the Kaizer Chiefs team and what's happened, and then they must win the game. Do you feel, as the week's sort of gone by, that it's got a bit more pressure on the game now?
Yes, I think the pressure is always a little bit here because, you know, we know the competition. We were always playing for winning. And I think now is the day of the game and you would like to go and win again. I know it's a charity and everything, but we are playing together and I think everyone wants to win the game. Of course, we don't know how is opposition. Now the age is very important in these games because if you put on the pitch, you know, two old team, or then you can lose because they can have a younger team. But we'll see. But me personally, I am going to play the game and try to win the game.
Are you happy the weather's changed?
Well, I am. I mean, first few days was absolutely boiling here, and we find out that the kickoff is 2 o'clock, and you know we were talking to Vladi, we were saying, wow, you know, I mean, this is not really looking very good. So yesterday was much better when we had a little kickabout, you know, at the ground. The weather was great. The pitch was looking very good, and you know, to come to the question, you know, we always have been competitive, you know, as an athlete. So I remember even in training sessions, you know, you just don't want to lose. Yeah. So and I think that hasn't changed. And you know, I will definitely approach the game in a way that, you know, I want to win it, even if it's a charity and it's mainly for the fans. I'm pretty sure that there will be more Liverpool fans than Kaiser Chiefs fans, and they, you know, they will be cheering as, you know, to win the game.
So what have you been up to? Because we seem to, I think it's unfortunate when you leave a football club, you lose touch with each other, don't you? As close as you are, I find that fairly disappointing. So what have you been up to since you've left Liverpool?
Or? Yeah, I signed to Bordeaux after Liverpool in 2005 for 2 years. And then after 2 years, I signed to Slavia Prague, my former team, where I finished my career in 2009. And I straight away, I worked for the Czech Federation, Czech Football Federation. I was the manager of the team. And this work is finished in December now. And then, I don't know, I take a little bit break and I'm looking for a new job, so for example, in the summer.
You like to stay in football?
Yes, I like to stay in football. I don't know. To do something else, honestly. I last 30 years I was just around the football, working or doing the football, so I don't know, I can't do anything else.
Bad. You love your golf, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm a golf freak, you know, to be honest with you.
Golf perv.
He's a candidate for Rio de Janeiro golf tournament.
I was going to say, you're looking for the seniors.
I'll have a go. Yeah. No, but I have... I actually came back to Czech Republic to play for Sparta Prague for a year and a half when I finished in Aston Villa, and halfway through the second season, you know, I had an injury on my knee again, had an operation, and you know, I just decided to hang up the boots. You know, I didn't really want to go through the fitness thing and, you know, the hard work again. I was already 36 years old, so I just decided to hang up the boots. And from that point, basically, I always said to myself that, you know, once I will retire, you know, I'll just have
become
a break
a
and I'll
model.
No, I'll just have a break and I'll just, you know, enjoy the life for a bit, and I'll be there for the kids, and you know, and I will do whatever I want to do. So that's what I have been doing.
Still
so far
enjoying it 4 or 5 years on.
Well, yeah, I do. I hope I can carry on for 5 more years.
Would you like to go on the tour, the senior tour? Do you think you would ever get to a point? Because you play all the time, don't you, your golf?
Actually, I do. And funny thing is that I played golf as a left-handed for 11 years. And and then I met a guy who is actually from South Africa, David Carter, the pro.
Yeah.
And he won the Irish Open and he won the World Cup with Nick Faldo years ago. And he's a pro in Czech Republic. So I played pro-am with him for 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago. And he convinced me to change, to play as a right-handed.
No way. Yeah.
So actually I did. And we were chatting, we were talking, and he said to me, listen, you have plenty of time. You know, if it would be nice, I mean, if you just have a go and try to get on the seniors there. So that's you know, that's the, and I don't want to say that's the target, but you know, it would be nice. That's the dream, exactly. Yeah.
Just to touch on that, I play a lot of golf. I love golf. So did it feel like you were just starting completely afresh to go from left-handed to right-handed?
Yes. I mean, it was, I had, for about 6 months, I had blisters. I had blisters on my hands. I had, my back was sore. I mean, it was really, really difficult, you know. And he said, it was in August. It was in August, and I said to him, "Yeah, I'll try in the winter, because in the winter in Czech Republic you can't play. It's too cold, so you go indoor." And you, so I thought, you know, I'll try indoor. And he said, "No, you start right now." And I said, "You know, I don't have new clubs. I don't want to buy new clubs right now." And he said, "I'll give you mine." So he was really pushing me. You know, he wanted me to change it.
And what was the angle on that, changing from left to right? What was his thinking?
His thinking was that already on the first hole when we played the pro, and he said to me, "You're naturally right-handed, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And he said, "Well, I can see that." You know, so
why have you written it left then?
Because as a kid in the winter in Czech Republic, you know, the only sport you can do is ice hockey. So when I played ice hockey, it was like left-handed. So I thought, well, that's the way to play golf.
No way.
Yeah.
That's why Czech Republic is a lot of left-handed golfers.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Because most of the people are playing ice hockey on the left hand down. You know, so I was lucky. I'm right-handed, so for my golf it was okay.
Actually, I tried to change to the right-handed twice, once when I was in Liverpool and once when I was in Portsmouth, and it only took me 1 week to get back to the to the left-handed clubs. You know, because it was really hard. You know, but I'm lucky I did it at the end.
Oh, that's brilliant. But just to touch on your Liverpool careers, unfortunately, I didn't get to play with you, Vladdy. But when I was at Liverpool, obviously there was a European Championships tournament going on, and Czech Republic done absolutely fantastically well, and I think you guys really made your names there, and people stood up and thought, this is a really good team. You had a lot of good players in that team at the time. But obviously when we were linked with you, Paddy, and you turned up, it was a really welcomed addition to our squad. So when you turned up, was it what you expected? Was it a culture change?
Oh, man, it was. I was in Germany for the year, and you know, in Germany everything was professional. You know, I mean, the food, you know, everything was just
rules, all the rules.
Everyone was, you know, sticking to the rules. And when I actually arrived at when I arrived at Anfield to sign the deal, I mean, everything seems to be the same like in Germany. As soon as I met you guys at Melwood and had a first session and breakfast with you, you know, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a totally different world.
Yeah. I was with Patrick on the phone quite often, and anytime I call him, he always says, "Listen, you would not believe what's happened." And
you know, the preparation for the training session, like 15 minutes before the training session started, you know, beads on toast, you know, big coffees. Everyone was in the canteen. Then when actually the training session started, we were just walking around the pitch, and the lads were talking about, you know, what was happening last night, you know, what we were doing the day before. And then basically we just did like 2-3.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Exercises, and then we played five-a-side. I mean, it was really shocked, but I enjoyed it. It was great. It was good fun.
I always feel like our generation of football, we went through everything, every change.
Yeah.
You know, it started off from the old guys with the drinking, and then that kind of changed towards 2000, and that stopped. And the diets changed through the 90s, and what you were saying there, what we were doing, but, you know, very relaxed with training in the beginning and eating before, that sort of changed, didn't it? And we went through all that, the whole 10 years of change. Obviously, when you joined the club, obviously Gerard Houllier had been there, and that culture had changed quite a lot by then, hadn't it? So was it a little bit different for you?
No, for me, strangely, it was no change at all, because he's French, and I played in French league 3 years.
Yeah.
So the rules were quite similar, and
wasn't so much of a shock as it was.
Of course, no, it wasn't a shock at all. No, at all, and I think. Yeah, only shock was on the pitch. Also a little bit a little bit shock for me, because it was different than French league, the Premier League.
And Pat, when you joined, obviously you joined into this young team of obviously Redknapp, Fowler, Manaman, myself, Rob Jones. I always look back and think how close we were to winning the league. Do you feel that as well? Do you think sometimes, how did we not win that Premier League back then?
No, you know, I think we had a fantastic and fantastic team and so many talented players,
yeah.
And we also had experienced players. Yeah. So the mix was there, and obviously Manchester United, you know, they had the same,
yeah.
And I think, you know, they were just a bit luckier than we were, you know, yeah. Mainly towards the end of the season where, you know, I remember in one or two seasons, you know, we just dropped few points and basically the title race was over. You know, and they kept going till the end, and you know they won the title. So I think with the team we had, you know, we could do much more than we did.
As you were quite successful. You were successful, Pat, because I asked you the other night. You went through the treble season, yeah. So relative success at Liverpool.
Yeah,
you're the same.
Yeah, I can't complain. I won everything. Only Premier League we didn't win. We won all the European Cups, FA Cup. Warrington Cup, everything. So, but in the league, we had, I think, 80 points, but Arsenal, they had 86 points. So,
yeah.
So you know, we finished second, but it's difficult. Usually with 80 points, you win the league, but they had 86 points. So it was a team with Pires, Lundberg, Anelka, Henry.
The glamour team, wasn't it? The Arsenal team.
That was a great team.
Would you... I'll keep the European Cup in there. Would you change everything that you won, both of you, for a Premier League title?
No. No. Because
Champions League,
European League, and all the FA Cup. No, I don't know.
The funny thing was in this season where we actually won FA, when we won the three trophies. I think we won the UEFA Cup, and then after that we played the FA Cup final, right?
No, first FA Cup, then UEFA Cup.
Okay,
which was quite lucky. The FA Cup final wasn't
very lucky.
What was happening was, you know, we were talking, you know, just before the finals, we were talking, you know, what would you rather win? You know, UEFA Cup or the FA Cup? And all the foreign players, they said, you know, I mean, we prefer to win the UEFA Cup if we could choose. And all the English lads, they were saying FA Cup. They would rather win the FA Cup than the UEFA Cup. So for the English boys, the FA Cup was, you know, meant more.
Yeah.
Because the history and everything of the cup, you know, it meant more for them than the UEFA Cup. But for the European guys, it's a little bit different. You know, European cups, you know, they are the cups to win.
Yeah.
But we, you know, obviously won both, so no regrets.
So when Gerrard came into Liverpool and took over from Roy, which was a really sad day, wasn't it? If you remember it in the dressing room when Roy came in, it was, you know, very emotional. Roy was upset. I look around and the lads were upset. There was a few tears from the lads and stuff. And you felt that change all of a sudden overnight. The change and then the different cultures come in, Gerrard's ideas and stuff. You know, Gerrard come with the idea of, you know, that the Spice Boys tag had come, and I really think it was unfair. Did you feel he had a really good team in the palm of his hand and he didn't know it?
Well, you know, I think it was all about to adapt for what he wanted to do. You know, it was when he started to change the things. You know, the diet, the training sessions, you know, the rules, the mobile phones and stuff like that. You know, the European players, you know, the foreign players, they were used to it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was not a problem for them. But for the English guys, you know, and they were used to totally something different, you know, it was a shock. So obviously some of you guys were not happy. And obviously...
That's fair.
I think that's the way it was. And obviously, it was obvious that, you know, those who don't really want to adapt as soon as possible, you know, they would have to go.
Yeah,
and that was the case.
And then
he started to... And then he knew straight away, you know, in a couple of weeks that, you know, who is going to go his way. You know, they have a chance to be there. And those who don't want to, you know, do what he wants to do, well, they can go and he will bring somebody else. And that was basically, you know, what happened.
Yeah. And he was bringing, the foreign players as well. So, you know...
Yeah.
That's even, you know, you don't like that as well. For example, if you are in your country and the foreign manager is coming and he's bringing French players, for example. So, you know, it doesn't help.
I think as a manager, he knew. I mean, you don't take Liverpool or you don't take the job, you know, and you are not unprepared. So I think he definitely knew, you know, what is going on, you know. And so he knew, even when he was coming in, he knew it will take, you know, little time, but... He had an idea, you know, who he wants to keep and who he wants to sell. I mean, I think that's, you know, every manager has that idea, you know, when he's taking over a new job, and, you know, that was the case with him as well.
Well, one player who did leave the club, and I don't think it was because he didn't adapt. I think it was because Real Madrid had come knocking, was obviously Steve McManaman. and to replace Steve was going to be a difficult job. And I think you got that job, Brad.
Liverpool fans look at
that departure and your arrival as being.
No, I think replacement. When I was playing in Lens, I loved watching this Steve McManaman because he was a great player. He did great games for Liverpool, and he was already a legend there. It was difficult for me, really, to replace him.
Did you feel you were Steve's replacement?
Yes, because I played, when I signed to Liverpool, they told me I'd be playing in his position. So okay, fine, thank you. They gave me the number 7, Kenny Aguijard, Ken Keegan, all these big players. And I came to Liverpool with injury. I played 7 the first 2 years.
Liverpool, when you obviously signed for Liverpool, that number is massive. Just to touch on that, and some players have not been able to carry it. I'd certainly say you were able to do that. Some players have struggled with that. Did you feel a burden with the 7, or did you embrace it? Or
no,
Did you want that number?
I didn't want it. They just straight gave me number 7. I didn't ask for 7 because I played in with 7 with Slavia Prague when I started my career. But in Lens I didn't play with the 7 because it was somebody else have it. Yeah. So, but if they gave me, I say okay, why not? But after 2 years, when Harry Kewell came to Liverpool, signed to Liverpool, and he asked me for number 7, I said, okay, have it. I know. I'm going to change. And I took 11. And I felt like more free. Suddenly, I feel like I'm a different player.
It didn't look that way, did it?
No, but inside me, I felt that.
Pad 7, we'll just skip on quickly now. 7 years at Liverpool, you got off to a flyer. I think you got player of the month after quite a few goals. Yeah. I think it was Leicester and Chelsea, give you that title. What was the most memorable moments at Liverpool?
Probably at the beginning, it was at the beginning where we played against Chelsea. I scored 2 goals. We won the game. I really had a good start, and the Leicester game, when actually I played my first part for the first team at Leicester. And I think I come on for the second half, scored 2 goals. So that was the highlight at the beginning. Obviously, after that, when we had a season when we won 3 trophies and qualified for the Champions League, that was that was probably the best season.
Would you say the Newcastle games up there as a memory? Because obviously you scored in that.
The 4-3 one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. It was similar to the one you guys played the year before I came. It was exactly the same scenario and. And it was an amazing game. It was an amazing game, and you can't really forget games like this.
I remember it going, obviously being 3-0 up, and then going to 3-3. And we always used to get the day off after the game, and I was just remember thinking, when it went to 3-3, we're not going to be off tomorrow. We're going to be in training, and we're going to get the biggest rollicking ever. Did you feel like that when it went 3-3? I couldn't believe it.
No, every time if you have a game where you are totally under control. And you 3-0 up, especially in England, if the opposition scores one, then, the game is not over. The teams, they as soon as they feel, there is a little chance, they go after you. So, I don't even remember that we had a day off after every game, Oh, you obviously, that was for you, that was priority. Let's win the game, I'll have a day off tomorrow.
That's true. Vlad, I think... fair to say, I think it'll be Champions League.
Yeah.
The highlight.
But I had the game like this 3-0 up at Southampton. We were leading 3-0 up and then we finished the game 3-3.
So you didn't get the day off?
No, we didn't. It was like 15 minutes before the end, we were 3-0 up and then we drew 3-3. But then, of course, the Champions League is my highlight. The last game for Liverpool and we won the European Cup. So definitely, plus in the game, I scored a goal. So
technically, you won it, didn't you?
Yeah.
With your penalty.
And in the penalty, that was an important moment for me because I knew, before I was taking the penalty, it's going to be my last kick for Liverpool.
Oh, that's the question I was going to ask. Did you know you were leaving Liverpool before?
Yes,
that game?
Yes, I know that. I know that. I knew that already in March. I think Benitez told me that in March that it was fair enough, And I just asked him if he's still going to play me. Or just I can already. And he said, yeah. If you be trained well, then I give you the chance to play. Because I said it's important for me because then I had the operation on my knee. I didn't play for 6 months in that season, and I need to show that I'm fit for the other clubs that I can find a club after the Liverpool. So he said, no. If you be training well, then I'm counting with you. Okay. That was fair enough.
And obviously, you said you're both Liverpool fans. Liverpool at the minute. and the Premier League being wide open this season, what you fancy Liverpool to do this season?
I wish that Liverpool be playing like this, you know, still between top four and staying there, and because I would like to see the Liverpool, of course, in Champions League. That's, I think, the best competition in Europe, and I think Liverpool as a club with the history, everything, deserved to be there, you know, for the fans, and plus we are Liverpool fans and we play for Liverpool. Yeah. That's why I would like to see the Liverpool playing there.
Do you think there's been so much change this season with new managers, Pellegrini? Mourinho's slightly different because he's been to Chelsea before. But then you look at Manchester City new manager, Manchester United new manager. The consistency with Arsenal is why they're at the top of the table, and Liverpool's consistency is now because Brendan Rodgers has been there a couple of seasons. The squad's been together a long time. The team's been together. Do you feel that's why they're at the top? And do you think there's a real opportunity to win the Premier League this year?
Well, I think that you know, I mean, it looks like that every team so far has been dropping points.
Yeah.
So there is another team.
Standout.
Exactly, standout. Mm. Who is you know, who looks like who is going to be, you know, the Premier League winner? But Liverpool has a chance, because if you would tell me that, you know, they would be in the middle of November, they would be where they are. I would take it any time. You know, so as long as they can keep close to the top as they are right now, you know, they have a chance to qualify for the Champions League. Nevertheless, you know, they have a chance to win the league. But I think if they are where they are in January, you know, they need, in my opinion, you know, they need to strengthen the squad a little bit to be able to qualify for the Champions League, in my opinion.
Would you like to see them? Because Liverpool, I feel, over the last maybe two or three seasons have brought in players that, you know, not the standout players, the glamour players, players that they feel they can develop, and over the years they will drop in. Liverpool need to start going into the market and buying these prestige players, these top players. Who would you like to see come in?
Well, I don't know who would I like to see to come in, but they definitely need players who can play straight away. You know, they
international good quality.
Yeah, which in January, that, you know, if you go back, then in January, when January is open, you know, they are never really major signings, aren't they? You know, or they are, but they are too expensive. And those players, I mean, if we're talking about top quality players, you know, they want to have the Champions League guarantee because they want to play the best competition in the world. And that's a difficult for Liverpool right now because they have no guarantee of Champions League for next season.
Just a quick question I was just thinking about there. Is there any one player you would take out of this team today and put in your own team?
I don't know.
Put Suarez in? Did you take Suarez?
Out? No, oh, to our team.
To put him in our team, yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I would, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I would.
That's the name. He's very good. He's very good. I like him, you know, his work rate and everything, his intelligence, and he's really difficult for the opposition too, because he can do some incredible things. So, you know, his skill is very good.
Would it be difficult to keep him?
Yeah. I think so. He's going to be
January.
Difficult.
Do you feel he could?
I don't know if in I think he will stay till the end of the season. You know, that's my feeling. That's my feeling. But I mean, if they let him go, then, you know, what the message? What's the message to the top players in, you know, in the world? I mean,
and Liverpool are probably at their strongest point now with buying players, because, you know, in January, you know, after last season, I think we finished seventh. You know, people would be looking, players would be looking at that position and thinking, oh, Liverpool's not quite ready. But now, second in the league, you know, going for Champions League football next season, which looks like they might get, Liverpool are a strong position to buy these players now, aren't they?
They definitely must keep him, not sell. If they sell him, then I don't think it's...
No, the message, is negative, you know. Yeah. It was like trouble. Benitez, when Benitez started, when Xabi Alonso left. You know, around that time, you know, he let go a few players, and basically the team was weaker than before. So if they sell Suarez, I mean, you cannot really sell best players. If you sell best players, then the message is wrong.
It can be like turning point, you know. You have generally, if you sell Suarez, then you can see where it goes. But if you, instead of that, you buy a top player, then you know, it's a great message, even for the confidence for the team, for the other players. They be feeling stronger. It's like we were playing and Stevie G was on the pitch. You feel stronger. You knew you are
we
strong.
Were like that with Matt,
you
are like Fowler.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel like, oh, okay, we can. we can do the things, but yeah. if he's not there, then it's going to be more difficult.
Yeah, we were like that, Padre. Yeah.
So that's
would
the message.
Like that with me, McAteer's playing today. You're gonna win.
You know, so that's the message for the team, not only for the fans, even for the team, for the players, for the confidence of the players.
Yeah,
can I lift you up?
Last question, and we'll put you on the spot. Where will Liverpool finish this season? I want a position.
Position. No, top four is not good enough.
Number one.
No, is top four good enough? No.
I want a position.
Fourth.
I go third.
I'm going to go second. I want them to be first, but I think second. Lads, it's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed that. Of all the podcasts, I've got to say, I've really enjoyed this one the most. I have. Lads, thanks very much. Obviously, good luck for the game today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.